Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK. Signos.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
When it comes to speculation around what's ruining hip-hop these days, there's several reasons that people can name. It's too ignorant. Rappers stopped rapping. The rise of short-form content has even some of the most elite artists trying to make TikTok songs. But today, I'm going to introduce an argument that isn't commonly discussed. And it all has to do with first week sales.
How many faking they streams? Getting they plays from machines? I can see behind the smoke and mirrors, niggas ain't really big as they seem.
Make no mistake, hip-hop's obsession with things like their Billboard successes and copies sold isn't anything new. In ways that other genres just don't allow for, rappers are allowed to boast about their triumphs over their fellow artists. In the past, the focus was on determining who could deliver the most impressive bars. But now that money has become such a big factor in hip-hop, it set a new standard to measure success.
Hip-hop fans and hip-hop itself is competitive. Nobody really, really brags in the news as artists about chart position before hip-hop.
In a lot of ways, it's really unsurprising that today's artists have fallen into the trap. A lot of them grew up in an era where Kanye West and 50 Cent were actively squabbling over who could sell the most copies when their albums Graduation and Curtis were released on the same day. It was a battle that Ye would eventually win, and this decisive victory really spelled the end of 50's run at the top in terms of relevancy. Before that, the G-Unit leader was contributing to this culture of numbers by going on radio shows like Hot 97 and reading SoundScan data to shade his enemies.
It's only two niggas in the world that I have ever heard go to Hot 97 and tell them, "Now we not running no commercials." Hov during the Rockefeller freestyle and fucking 50 Cent every time he went up there and started reading that fucking, reading SoundScan.
Then you had controversies like the time that Lil Wayne sold 964,000 copies of his album The Carter 4. Immediately, the news that the 2011 record had sold just a little under the million that Weezy turned in at his peak with The Carter 3 during what was a very different time for the industry aroused suspicion. It got so bad that at one point, Birdman had to step in to defend the numbers and reassure everyone that it was legit.
There are a lot of people saying that, "Oh man, we don't believe it. They bought and sold albums to themselves."
Nah, man, that really don't make no sense. Why would we do that? Yeah. I mean, I press and distribute them. Ain't no need for me to buy them.
That's like hustling backwards, right?
That's hustling backwards, man. We ain't in it for that.
In the hip-hop climate that today's stars came up in, everybody wanted to be on top, and people like DJ Who Kid, who was there to see it all, believes that has bled into the culture we see today. The 90s is when the younger generation started to pay attention to record sales, and that's when the overall scope of selling records and trying to sell as many records as possible changed for the entire record business. I think people seeing other people's success becomes a contagious situation. It's fucked up how a number makes you not like a song anymore. Although it would have been bad in the 2000s, it's nothing compared to the social media age we're in today, where every Friday, fans look to see how the latest releases charted and the first week sales they turned in. Most of the time, this leads people to dismiss the project as a failure, causing the album to be largely forgotten regardless of its content. And with a single number being enough to make you not care about a project, or ignore it completely, this is causing major problems for not just the conversations around hip-hop, but the actual creativity we're seeing in the genre itself. So, how did we get here? And are people finally realizing that we need to fix it before it strangles the culture? The first week sales culture didn't emerge from nowhere. Like everything, the media has had a huge role in bringing this to prominence. And one of the main people leading this charge towards fixating on first week sales is DJ Akademiks. Looking back, he's been feeding into this narrative since 2014 at least. Not only publishing first week sales every single week on his social media account, but constantly explaining why they apparently are so important for how we perceive artists.
It's Woody J. Academic sent out the harsh realization. When you realize that your fucking album you just dropped actually flopped. Now we got two definitions of what a flop is. We got a fan flop and we got a record label flop. Now to fans, which is us, we see a flop as anything that's not competing with everybody else. For example, J. Cole or Drake or Kanye, they drop an album and it does about 500,000 first week or so, right? Or even in R&B, say like R&B singers drop an album, they do like 150, right? We think that any other artist, if you're not competing with that, you flop. Nigga, your shit just flopped. But now, for a record label, it's different. Because for a record label, what they consider a flop, they'll think your shit is a dud, a waste of time, basically a drink coaster in a fucking jewel case if they didn't recoup, so it's kind of relative.
At every opportunity, Academics has gassed up rappers and celebrated those who are doing major numbers. Just look at how he reacted to Lil Durk breaking the 100K mark.
That nigga worked, he just did 120. Yo, clap it up. Can we look at that real quick? Lil Durk, 7220 sells 120 first week. Big dog shit. I'm sorry. Good shit. That's great sales.
But what's missing from this is that there was no analysis of the project or why it was receiving these numbers. Ultimately, Academics rarely talks about the quality of the output and instead focuses solely on the sales and the criteria for who is a big name. And for every celebration of people like Drake, he also weaponizes those numbers when one of his enemies is perceived to have flopped, as was the case when he was feuding with the City Girls.
And I talked to almost the head of the RIAA. If you don't know who that is, that's the organization that actually certifies albums. So if your favorite album by your favorite rapper is Diamond, they do it. Platinum, they do it. Gold, they do it. They told me this shit went 15 times plastic. This shit was ridiculous. This shit was ridiculous. They said, "Act, this is the first triple plastic certification we've given out." He said the last time they dropped the record, it went double styrofoam.
A self-described numbers guy, Academics has even argued that Views is a better album than Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly, and that K-Dot pales in comparison to Drake as an artist based on nothing other than this data.
To Pimp a Butterfly, first week, sold 324,000.
Okay, you might have to go to 16 where he drops Views. Views obliterates that.
Yeah, but I always have felt that if Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake all dropped on the same day, most people would listen to Kendrick first.
No way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yo.
He's Vlad. More anticipated.
Yo, Vlad.
He has way more Grammys.
Yo, Vlad. Yo,
he's
Grammys
more, he's more
yo.
Artistic.
Yo, Vlad. Vlad, 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 Vlad.
He's not as much of a pop Vlad. Artist, I get that. Vlad. You disagree
Vlad.
With me?
Vlad, listen.
You disagree with me on this?
So there's a couple problems with that. First, it goes against some of the basic principles of the genre. It used to be about the best lyricists coming out on top through skill and talent. But now, it seems like success is more about following trends or relying on famous collaborators rather than pushing boundaries and improving your craft. Besides that, as a majorly influential figure to younger fans, Academics treating hip-hop this way means that other people are going to follow suit. Through just looking at the numbers of the first week, it can't necessarily assess quality. It could be saying like fast food is a gourmet cuisine just because more of it is consumed. In fact, some argue that it isn't the numbers in the short term that matter, but the legacy of the project. So this makes first week sales a false measurement of success. A prime example of this is Nirvana's iconic album, Nevermind, which only sold 6K units in its first week, but eventually achieved diamond status. Despite this, we are currently in a culture where if enough noise is made about poor sales, the album won't get a fair shake. JT from the City Girls once pointed out that the low first week sales of their album Raw and the negative reaction it garnered on social media made it seem like the album didn't stand a chance.
If you don't go hard with promoting your shit and putting it in people's face, like, of course it's gonna miss people, and I feel like it missed a lot of people, and then by the time people discovered it, it was discovered as a joke. Like, a lot of people found out through our record sales because that was probably the most viral thing.
And rather than the City Girls accepting the fact that first week sales are pretty much pointless, their focus on the numbers has gotten worse. To the point that recently, she tweeted a full-on guide on how to stream her album correctly. Because of the fear of getting mocked over their first week numbers, some people who've based their entire identity on sales can be left looking goofy because of this pressure. Whether you're an up-and-comer in the game or a veteran, the pressure to sell doesn't discriminate, and when it hits, the effect can be devastating and lead to public meltdowns. After dropping lines like, "To be the queen of rap, you gotta sell records, you gotta get plaques," on the track Make Love with Gucci Mane back in 2017, it wasn't surprising that Nicki Minaj had a meltdown when Travis Scott beat her on the charts.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then, I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't feel my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Nigga of the week, of course, is Travis Scott. Travis Scott, on Thursday, when he realized the Queen was about to have the number one album in America, he and his label decided to have Kylie and baby Stormy put up a tour pass. How are you selling something that does not have anything to do with your album, but it's being counted on Billboard as album sales? But what we not gonna do is have this auto-tune man coming up here selling fucking sweaters and telling y'all he sold 500,000 fucking albums, because he didn't, you stupid fuck.
Left so angered that she wasn't number one in first week sales that she honed in on Travis's, Nicki focused solely on Travis's success, overlooking the fact that she had offered her album with a special $5 bundle, including a poster and a free trial to Tidal. On top of that, she added the number one hit Fifi with 6ix9ine to the project after its release, all in an effort to boost her numbers. This highlights the unhealthy obsession with sales above all else. It sometimes turns artists into hypocrites as they prioritize numbers over their artistic integrity. For an example of this, look no further than the change in mentality of French Montana since the first week sales era really got underway. Back when he was first dropping records, French used to be unmoved by it as he cared about the lasting impact. In 2013, he was saying things like, "I really believe it's not what you sell, but where you end up at." Look at Akon. He sold 17,000 in his first week. He ended up selling 5 million copies. Look at Shaggy. He sold 10,000 and ended up at 10 million. I know it's going to last forever. I know once people hear it, people will be like, "Damn, this is really it." After all those big claims back then, his lengthy time in the industry has meant that he's also one of the many who have fallen victim to it now. And as I explained in my detailed breakdown of his career, he started doing anything he could to boost those sales, even if it meant that he had to scam his fans. But even after all that went down, French would go on record complaining about how artists had been forced to comply with this culture.
"We all brainwashed is gonna have the biggest numbers. It's taking the love out of music. People are not making the music that they love no more. People are chasing those numbers. And how you chase those numbers? You go to Rap Life, you go to Rap Caviar, you go to whatever it is. This is what the best songs sound like. I gotta make a song just sound just like that. That's why every time a number one hit, everybody try to make the beats just like
it." Rather than just being an issue that rappers had to contend with, French then said it was affecting the quality of the music.
"Niggas ain't standing on nothing. Niggas ain't saying, niggas ain't standing on no style. Niggas ain't stand, you know what I'm saying? Like there's nobody that's really just pushing the envelope. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's brainwashed. Everybody, you know what I'm saying? Like, from the numbers to the swag to everything, it just is, you know what I mean?"
Obviously, coming from him after the Mac and Cheese 5 situation, people thought this was really hypocritical. bro calling himself out. Bro literally dropped 8 versions of the same song for streaming purposes. French never said he was immune to it all, but someone who's been in the game for so long, suffering from it so badly, shows the depth of this problem that's been created by the media, fans, and the rappers themselves. Considering people like French and Nicki are so entrapped by it, some people might think there's no hope. But there are signs that people are finally waking up to it. For example, after the release of his new album, Lil Yachty showed what dropping the obsession with first week sales can get you. On his podcast, Yachty has made it clear that he's knowledgeable about the financial side of the game.
I mean, Wayne did a million on a leaked bootleg album. The Carter 3, I had that album months before it came out. Absolutely. Nigga at the barbershop had it in the back of his Buick.
And over the years, the ATL rapper has struggled with trying to get the numbers he wanted, to the point that it made him doubt the worth of projects like his debut, Teenage Emotions. When I first released my Teenage Emotions album, I thought that shit was fire, as you should. Then, the sales came back and it did 44,000 in the first week, and I was devastated and so confused. I worked so hard. Since then, Yachty has gone back and forth when it comes to sales, peaking with 64K for Lil Boat 2, which was widely regarded as a pretty poor record. Now, Yachty has found his identity as an artist, and in what should be a lesson to other artists, freeing himself from that mindset of focusing on first week numbers allowed him to make the most acclaimed album of the year. Let's start here. I did what I really wanted to, which was create a body of work that reflected me, he said of dropping the psychedelic project. I was kinda nervous to put out music, but now I'm on some other shit. It was a lot of self-assessing and being very real about not being happy with where I was musically, knowing I'm better than where I am. Because the shit I was making did not add up to the shit I listened to. I just wanted more. I just want to be remembered. I want to be respected. Following its release, Yachty's Let's Start Here sold 37K in its first week. That's a little more than his last album, but almost half of Lil Boat 2. However, these numbers don't really mean everything, because where Lil Boat 2 did better initially, Let's Start Here is a project that's now beloved by fans. In the week that it debuted, the album was outsold by Trippy Red's Mansion Music, a 25-track long album that hasn't exactly been hailed as a classic. And this, in a nutshell, is why first week sales aren't the crucially important metric to determine success that so many people like to pretend they are. Because if the record is disposable, then those numbers aren't going to last compared to a great body of work. And these days, more and more people are waking up to that. On Trippy's record, he basically delivered 25 tracks which didn't stray too far from what he had done before. If you're trying to maximize first week sales, that's a good plan because you'll be appealing to what's popular at the time. But even that is starting to lead to a decline and actually affecting those numbers that everyone is so hyped for. It's even leading hip-hop to lose ground to other genres, and it's got people like Offset thinking we're focusing on the wrong things.
I'm noticing that like the numbers are down in our genre specifically because I feel like everything is so the same. Like the next new is another that was just here. Like it's nothing new being brought to the game, not just on the sound side, but just all the way around as like creatively too. Like the most videos be like a Rolls Royce in the background, some chains on, and that shit getting boring, fellas. It's like no real entertainment while you got these pop and these country artists smoking shit because they coming with the full round, like the full package, you know what
and
I'm saying?
It ain't the same, like they telling stories and
yeah, real songs. Everything ain't flexing.
In the view of Offset, it's more projects like Yachty's that we need, and less that are just rehashes of what has already been done. And with the numbers down, what do these rappers really have to lose? Well, unfortunately, until we change the conversation around first week numbers, there's a lot. Because if they spent some of that energy trying to work out how to increase their first week sales into actually growing their connection to their audience, then they can succeed without ever having to worry about that. And it seems that the real way to get the bag comes from having a dedicated fan base who are always ready to show out for you. And no one has put this better than Mr. Joey Badass. After taking 5 years out of the game, Joey returned in 2022 with the album 2000. But rather than sweating the numbers he did, he focused on what really counted. I feel really compelled to say, fuck first week sales. They simply do not matter anymore. I mean, when's the last time anyone you know bought an album? We can all stream anything we want, but in order for it to count as an album sale, you need to listen to every song like 1,000+ times. They're trying to make it seem like everybody flopping when in reality, they changed the rules. So someone please tell me why the fuck anybody is still worried about that. They're trying to take the power from the musician because they never learned how to measure influence properly. At this point, just shut the fuck up and enjoy the music. Unsurprisingly, saying that got him some blowback from those obsessed with numbers. But Joey had the answer to that by showing that he had something something a lot of major stars who do better first week sales than him don't. And that's the ability to sell tickets and make some real money. In the streaming era, everyone has ignored making something engaging in favor of making what really sells. As a result, the focus on first week sales has stifled rappers from taking chances because they want to be seen as doing mainstream numbers. Now, with hip-hop sales on the decline and audiences getting restless, it's time for people to take more chances. Rather than wondering about what figure DJ Academics is going to post after your album has been out for a single week. Because if you make something really great, then whether it's through people flocking to your shows or organically making a big splash on the charts, the talented rappers will get what they deserve.